Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with a train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongues from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said. "Send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed it on to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some had fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of those boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled their partners into the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of the fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome to another episode of your Daily Reader. And today we're going to discuss these readings that you just heard. I wanted to start off, I actually really like this Gospel passage. It's one of my favorite ones where it talks about going out and becoming fishers of men, or catchers of men, as it says in this scripture passage. And I think it kind of talks to, definitely to the apostles and to their future mission, where they will go out and be those who convert the world and bring the word of God to the Israelites and to the world at large. But I think it also speaks to every one of us who is a believer in Christ, because it's also our mission is to go out and to carry this message into the world and to convert the hearts of all people. So I think it's a gospel message that all of us can relate to on that front.
And so do you think, Brian, that that means leaving our jobs like these fishermen did, or is it something simpler than that?
Well, I think it can really depend. I think for some people it can indeed mean a change in career. For example, Don, I know that you and I both have experienced that in our lives, where our jobs we found weren't where God was calling us to, and we both ended up in ministry, you as a youth minister here at the parish and myself as a seminarian. But not everybody has to leave their job in order to do that, and it doesn't mean that they're not as good or not as faith-filled of a person as you or I who did switch careers. For some people, it's a matter of how can I be a witness to Christ in my own work. There are many people who do this. I mean, doctors, lawyers, you can do this in any profession. And it's a matter of an attitude and a consciousness of saying, is this what God is asking me to do? And then am I caring about my work in a manner that's consistent with my values as a Christian, and that sort of a thing. And then there's still other people who find that their job is what they do for a living, as a way to make a career, but find other ways. They use their job, yes, as one way to bring Christ into the world, but maybe even other ways. Sometimes they volunteer at different activities. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to leave your career in order to bring the word out into the public and to everybody. But for some people that may be the case, and for others it might not.
I think sometimes it's even harder to be an apostle at your job, as working in an office or somewhere like that, because there's so much temptation to just take the easy way out, and if you're looking to get ahead, to, you know, badmouth someone else. And if we're really living out our call to, you know, to be Christians, it makes our work a lot harder. And so I give a lot of credit to everybody that works in the outside world. A lot of times people say to me, "Oh, your job is so great, you know, you can pray all day and you can do this and that," and I think, "Oh, right, I should be doing that."
It'd be nice if I could have the time to do that kind of a thing there.
I tend to fill up every minute with doing something instead of remembering.
Well, I think I do that as well. I think most people tend to be guilty of that, if not making the conscious time for the Lord. But I do think, I think that that's something that we can all work on and find ways to use whatever career that you're in as a way to give glory to God, as a way to bring the word out to the masses.
Yeah. I like all these readings today. To me, it's really neat. In each of the three readings, it talks about seeing God. And so for Isaiah, he just says, oh my gosh, don't look at me, I'm unclean lips. And then Paul talks about, well, if you know the story of the conversion of Paul, and he falls off his horse and he's blinded. And then Peter, in this gospel, he says, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And so I think that... I know when I recognize the presence of God in someone or something, a lot of times I think, oh, I'm so sorry, don't look at me, I'm not worthy to be looked at. And so it's not so much a feeling of shame, but a feeling of humility in all these readings. And so,
yeah, or unworthiness.
Yes, right.
Even going a little beyond that. It's not just humility, but this mm-hmm. unworthiness. Simon Peter says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And some of it, it's an interesting thing, because initially he has the faith there and he puts out the nets, but there's there's some sort of a deepening sense, like, oh my goodness, he really is the Son of God when that catch comes in. He threw out the nets with faith, but at the same time when he gets that, it hits him, the awesome presence which he's standing in. And all of a sudden, that contrast of his own unworthiness. And we can all feel that at times in our own lives. But there's a sense, and there's a sense in which, it's appropriate to feel that. And there's a sense in which you can take it too far as well. The interesting thing here is that God's response is, he doesn't say, oh no, you're worthy, kind of thing. But he says, do not be afraid. You know, there's a discrepancy. Yes, I'm God and you're not. But at the same time, do not be afraid to be in my presence. I've come down into the world to be in your presence. And I kind of embrace you, even though you are a sinful man.
I think fear, a lot of times we have all sorts of fear, and that's what holds us back. And I got to thinking about Gabriel appearing to Mary, and he says, do not fear. You know, all the times that we hear, don't be afraid, and just how important that is. I think fear freezes us where we are, and it stops what we're called to do.
Yep. Yes, there's one priest I knew who says the thing about fear is he uses it as an acronym, and it's false evidence appearing real. Is fear. Because that's usually what it is. It's something of our own, it's kind of our own block, but some sort of a false evidence or a false read of a situation. So in this case, you could say, Peter had a false reading of the situation. Yes, the reality is that there's that discrepancy between him and God, but God doesn't want him out of his presence, or God doesn't only allow into his presence beings as pure as he is, if you will. But he embraces all of us in his creation and welcomes us all into his presence. Another thing that I wanted to touch upon, too, was kind of the way that God tends to respond to us a lot of times with this superabundance, because not only do they just catch fish, but they catch so many fish, more than they could possibly carry in even. They're practically sinking their boats. And I think that's an important theme, and seen throughout Scripture at other times too, kind of with the multiplying of the loaves and that kind of thing, that God takes what little we have, or our inadequacies, and from that can create a superabundance. And I think that's an important thing. So here you've got the fishermen who have been working all night, and they've got nothing to show for that. And God can take that nothing, and with a little bit of faith, turn that into a huge superabundance. And it's not a perfect faith, even, as we see, because Peter, again, at the end says, get away from me, and it kind of hits him what this really was about, and all of a sudden this awesome presence hit him. So he didn't have this perfect faith, He just had a little bit of faith. And with that little bit of faith, God was able to produce a superabundance.
It reminds me, when I started this job as youth minister, I was panicked because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was really scared. And I had this man say to me, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's what that reminded me of. And I think that's the same with these, you know, fishermen. Who would have thought that they should be the apostles? Right.
Right.
And so it's important to remember in all our lives.
Yeah. Well, I think this has been a good discussion, and we'll leave you for now.
And we'll see you next time on your Sunday Reader.